Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dom, the Tuesday, 1 year from the election. Happy hour.
Happy hour, Crudy.
And I'm happy to thank our most recent guest, Joe Sopecki. I think he's out there waiting for us for cocktails. And we introduce a new guest, a returning champ. He is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman, Ben Wickler, in the Solidarity Realty Studios. First time down here on the new place. Ben, welcome.
Groot, Dom, great to be with you. Love being on State Street, that great street here in Madison, Wisconsin, the city of my childhood, my adulthood, and my love.
Nice. Good to see you, Ben.
I can't wait till 4 years like these current freshmen at UW are never going to remember a time when there wasn't civic media here at the near head of State Street. Ben, obviously the election, it never really stops, but 1 year from today, or, you know, I know it really is the 5th, as Joe pointed out, but nearly 1 year from today, first Tuesday of November. What's your mood today?
I think where we sit right now is a gigantic fight that will take an enormous amount of work, where the people's hearts are with us in terms of the issues, where people want to hear why they need to actually get out and vote and cast their ballot for Democrats. And if we do that work, we're going to win. If we don't do it, we won't win. And I think if you look at the polls, if you look at the mood in the country, essentially, Democrats, the job of anyone who wants to save American democracy is to use every possible minute in this year to engage with people and make clear what the stakes are and how their power to cast a ballot could tilt us one way or the other. It's not one of these elections where external conditions decides what happens. It's not a foregone conclusion. Destiny is, you know, a landslide one way or the other. This will be a fight to the finish, but I think that we can pull it out and we can make this the election that puts an end to MAGAism once and for all.
Ben, you've clearly seen the new polling out, the swing state polling, New York Times, Siena College poll. And here in Wisconsin, Joe Biden retains a narrow 2-point lead over the presumptive Republican nominee, Trump. But in a lot of swing states, in the blue wall states, the states that Biden won back that Hillary did not, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, I think Pennsylvania and Michigan, in all of those states, the incumbent, Joe Biden, our guy, he's trailing Ben. And obviously, it's a year till the election, but it's got to create a pause. So what do you make of the polling?
So dig into that poll, and you'll see that in most of these states, there's very little difference between Trump and Biden on the question of democracy, and not a huge difference even on abortion. In Wisconsin, Biden has a 15-point advantage on the question of who would handle our democracy better. And I think it might be reversing this, like 13-point advantage on abortion. And if you ask why that is, look at what's happened in our state over this last year. We had a gigantic, the most expensive judicial race in American history, where questions around reproductive freedom and democracy were front and center. This fall, we've had the Republican attempt to impeach our Supreme Court justice, another huge wave of organizing, of ads, of conversation around the state about the Republican threat to overturn elections and destroy our democracy. And so here in Wisconsin, the stakes in the election are more vivid than they are in other places. Other states haven't had an election for a year. Here we've had an election and an attempt to undo the election all within this last year. I think that speaks to the impact of the work that we have to do. And to me, this is the recipe that we have to use in these other states. We have to fight the fight. We have to make absolutely clear what's on the line. People don't want to grow up in a military dictatorship. Trump is talking about the Insurrection Act to be able to send in the military to put down protests around the country. That's what he's planning if he comes back into office. None of that is in voters' minds at this moment. And as you can see, if people don't know the stakes, then the election becomes really tough. the work of a campaign, the work of organizers, of activists, of people who, of good faith across the political spectrum, who want to live in a democracy where they have fundamental freedoms, is to make sure that voters get what is going on.
Bit of a digression. Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman, the former president, Donald Trump, just earlier today, pressuring the Republican Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, to what? Go impeach Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf. They're trying to wade into electoral politics in real time, in current tense, Ben.
Well, this is exactly it, right? Trump is afraid that he cannot win a fair election in Wisconsin. So what's his solution? It's not to change his message or moderate or try to reach out to the voters who disagree. It is to try to mangle our system of democracy, to try to take out someone who ran a free and fair election that he lost in 2020, who just oversaw and make sure that voters could cast their ballots. Trump's response to the fact that he's behind in Wisconsin is to try to rig the electoral system in this one state, the tipping point state in the Electoral College. It makes our case for us. It makes the case for the work we have to do to defend our democracy, but it also makes our case to the public for why Trump is such a danger, because he does not believe in democracy, wanted to terminate the Constitution, wants to deploy the military against American citizens to crush dissent. I mean, the threat is so real. And we have 1 year. Fortunately, it's a leap year, so we get an extra day. We get now 363 days to make
Joe Sopecki made that point before you, Ben.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Ben Wickler, he's the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin in studio on State Street. Ben, good to see you. Some people on this panel have, you know, read some articles and lamented the efforts, perhaps, of the Democratic Party or Democratic candidates in reaching out to rural blue class voters. I want to get your sense on that, what the effort has been, and is it important to have candidates, even in a district that's very difficult to win, to be out there if to martyr themselves, if nothing else, to have that message out there for the overall vote. What's your sense on that? What's the effort been like?
There are Democrats everywhere in Wisconsin, and it is critical to have candidates everywhere in Wisconsin. And I spent this weekend knocking on doors, crisscrossing our state. I was in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Tomahawk, and went up to Superior, Appleton, Fond du Lac, Glendale, back to Madison. All over our state, we had door-to-door canvasses in 58 out of the 72 counties this weekend. We had 425 door-to-door canvasses across 115 different communities, most of them very small. And we reached out to 105,000 voters across Wisconsin, people who have not voted for Democrats in the past or who have missed many elections recently, to check in and see what is on their minds and how we can earn their vote. The work is an uphill battle. At the same time, it is so energizing for folks. I was just on the phone with Ruth Caves, the chair of the Washera County Dems. That is a very Republican county. But there are Democrats there. And when they know that someone's actually making an effort to earn their vote, and that if they put their work in, find a couple more Democrats per precinct, they might lose 70-30 in their county. But if they lose 70-30 instead of 25-75, that can add up to a statewide victory. So to me, this is absolutely critical work. And it's why we invest in year-round organizers in rural parts of Wisconsin, not just in the big urban centers where national media comes to figure out whether Dems have it.
You know, Crudy's just bought some land in Washera County. We got a second residence. We can move up there full-time like Tim Michaels, 183 days a year.
So what about the messaging? I mean, obviously, abortion was a big one. You know, democracy is on the ballot. Do you think that's going to continue to resonate here? Or, I mean, it's another year out. A lot can happen in a year. I mean, look where were you a year ago, 2 years ago. Looking out another year from now, it's hard to predict. What do you think the message, the main issues of the voters of Wisconsin are going to be then?
So the big picture message to me is a Democratic Party that believes in freedom and opportunity and common sense against an extremist MAGA party that is trying to ban abortion, overturn democracy, ban books, and take away opportunities to give giant tax cuts to the ultra wealthy. It's the contrast between a party that wants the next generation to grow up at least as free and with as many opportunities and more as the previous generations have had, against a party that wants to build a, would it be a bridge? Would it be a tunnel to 1849. I mean, the Republican Party at this point is so out of touch with what most people everywhere want. And if you look at the individual issues, starting with abortion, it's both profoundly personal about the basic questions that people have if they're thinking about starting a family or growing their family, whether they will be able to get the healthcare that they need. And it also speaks to the overall mindset of a MAGA Republican Party that is trying to control people and take away their freedoms and rights. So to me, that contrast between extremism and common sense and freedom and authoritarianism, that's the heart. And there's so many specific issues within that that you can see on things like gun violence, Republicans trying to make sure domestic abusers can get guns. That kind of stuff all feeds into this bigger picture question of who's on your side.
Ben Wickler, Dem Chair of Wisconsin. We had Angela Lang from Block On earlier today, and we were talking about her yesterday as well. This article done on CNN with John King, talking about some of the canvassers from her organization that went out and talking, you know, pounding the doors, and people aren't really engaged, or you know, they haven't done anything for me. Why would I go vote for them? And that kind of thing. And I get that, you know. So I wonder if expectations can be too high. How do you engage people but temper the expectations? So, and just because you vote for a candidate because you get involved doesn't mean you're going to get X, Y, and Z. How do you balance that by trying to motivate them but also being realistic on what the expectations would be?
So one of the big things is that Democrats have passed bills that are going to change lives. But some of those shovels haven't gone into the ground yet. So, for example, in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which in Wisconsin is the Democratic infrastructure bill because every Republican voted against it, there's funding to remove every lead lateral pipe in the country, including everyone in the city of Milwaukee. Now, there are Milwaukee families who've been waiting, calling out for safe drinking water, for removing those lead pipes for generations. And finally, Democrats have gotten it done in the sense that they passed the bill. But until you see your pipe removed and the new one put in, you'll believe it when you see it. So this is now implementation time. And over the next year, my hope is, and my expectation is, more and more of these projects are actually going to happen. People will see the change in their own communities and their own neighborhoods. And they'll see how Republicans are talking about removing these things, repealing the investments that are going to make a difference in people's lives. That's a contrast that can lead to victory.
Ben, my understanding, we're short on time in this segment, but 22,000 green jobs supposed to be coming here in the state of Wisconsin, 11 gigabytes of solar and wind energy coming to the state. Those might affect people's perceptions, would they not?
Absolutely. I think that the actual change in people's lives counts. I think what doesn't do it is a bill that hasn't been implemented yet. We saw that with the Affordable Care Act in 2010, right? People were not excited about it. But then when Republicans tried to take away what people were actually getting in 2018, repealing the Affordable Care Act, that lost the election for the Republicans. And that is the moment that we're in. We're in the moment where the football is in the air. We haven't yet caught it in the end zone, so we need to keep running so we can grab it.
Hopefully it's not Christian Watson out there. He might get hurt.
Don't get hurt, man.
We got Ben Wickler. He's the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. More with our good friend Ben on the other side.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal. Get up.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us. Click on the Shows tab. You can find the Devil's Advocates podcast and interviews.
Dominic, we got a fine guest 1 year to the election. He is Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. We have him here captive in the Solidarity Realty Studios, the WMDX studios. And not to be too blunt, Chairman, but it's the economy, stupid. We heard that first from James Carville, and I'm sure it was said before he said it. But what do you say about that? People have the perception that the economy is bad, and increasing interest rates and, you know, people feeling stuck in their homes is not going to do anything except exacerbate that feeling. So Ben, obviously the president, the governor, no single individual has control over the economy, but you know, Biden's going to have to run against or with this economy. How do you deal with the economic issues, and how paramount is the kitchen table economy to Wisconsin voters, in your opinion, sir?
The economy always matters, and it matters enormously. And even though inflation's going down, prices aren't going down. They're just not going up the same way that they were before. Interest rates are high. All that's totally real. Another thing that's real is that most people listening right now, you probably have a job. And most people you know probably have a job, because we have record low unemployment in Wisconsin. And employment has been consistently unusually low across the country. We've been creating good jobs. Pay is going up after adjusting for inflation. the record deal just struck at UAW, where the president was on the picket line, speaks to that. Now, it takes a while. There's always a lag. When the economy gets better, it takes 6 to 8 months for the public to start feeling a little bit differently. And I think that we're in the early part of that period right now. And the president and the president's team and all of us, all the public office holders need to keep doing that work to grow the economy from the middle out and the bottom up instead of the top down, which is the Republican strategy that leads to a mushroom-shaped economy, as we know. So that work needs to continue. At the same time, there have been wise investments made. So the question is, will we have the time to see those investments pay off? Will people recognize that the prosperity that they're enjoying in their personal life, that's something that's not only affecting them, but everybody, in time for the election final results to reflect that? Now, in 2022, the Republicans were banking on the idea that inflation would tank Dems. We saw people like Tim Michels, who thought that this was the killer thing that would ensure that he would win the governor's race in Wisconsin. And, you know, most times when there's a Democratic president in the White House, a Republican does win the governor's office every election since 1962. But Democrats won. And we won because, in fact, the economy was delivering for folks and we were able to make the case that Republicans were taking away their basic freedoms and rights. So it's a both-and situation. The right investments are being made. And we also have to make clear the stakes on all the other aspects of people's lives that are on the line in 24.
Well, I don't think it helped the Tim Michels campaign when he called Wisconsinites lazy.
Right.
But Rachel Maddow of MSNBC fame only does the Monday night show these days, but she also looked at the New York Times Siena polling and said something that nobody's talking about. 71% support amongst those polled for unionized labor. She said that's the highest it has polled since like 1964. Ben, how important is this sort of renaissance of the labor movement to the Democratic movement going forward, and do we see labor as part of the foot soldiers for the Democratic Party, or how do we make them such?
President Biden has it right. The middle class built this country, and unions built the middle class. This is the most pro-union, pro-worker president we've had certainly in my lifetime, and probably most listeners' lifetimes. The president really made history when he was out there on the picket line with UAW, which not only sent a message to auto workers, it sent a message to workers everywhere that if they stand up for their rights, like the intro song to this segment, if they are fighting out there to make sure that workers get justice, the president will have their back. And that so meets this moment in this country. There's been a debate in the economics profession, how much inflation is just due to these impersonal external forces and how much it's due to companies taking this moment to raise prices and increase profits.
Right.
And get richer than they were before. Greedflation. And it turns out greedflation is totally real. All these companies have used the moment when they could kind of get away with it to jack their prices up. And they haven't passed that along to workers. And having the government on the side of workers to make sure that working people get their fair share of this economy, that makes a huge difference to families all across the country. And I think that I know for a fact that union members across the country, even folks who might feel, could go either way on a lot of different issues with Democrats, they know that having elected officials who will stand up for working people makes a difference to their families. And that is one thing that gives me great hope for President Biden and for Tammy Baldwin, who's the number one proponent of Buy America legislation in the United States Congress.
Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I'm seeing a lack of credibility on the Republican side. And it seems like a lot of the folks that decide to retire, they're very boisterous and find a spine on the way out the door. But I'm wondering, how can the Dems and will the Dems, you know, focus in on that? I mean, credibility matters, I think, to a lot of people. And you can have different beliefs, but if you say one thing to one crowd and one thing to another, you know, if you're a hypocrite, I think ultimately that's going to rub off. And I've seen a lot of that coming out of the Republicans here in the state and certainly nationally as of late. Will the Dems, do you think that's important? Is that something you can focus on to really drill home that when we say something, we mean it, and we have the facts to back it up?
Absolutely. I mean, infrastructure is a perfect example of this, right? Trump ran for president on the idea he was going to fix the roads and fix the airplanes. He had infrastructure week every single week. Not a dime. He did not pass anything. He's a builder. And then it turns out he's in, you know, this trial for inflating the value of his assets by $250 million. And then Joe Biden comes in, pulls Republicans and Democrats together, and actually passes the bill. He's actually doing the stuff that Americans have been crying out for. And I think that absolutely matters. People want someone who will finish the job. And that is what President Biden is asking in his reelection campaign. He wants the chance to finish the job. It's also very clear from the whole history of Trump that if Trump comes in, the job will go unfinished. And in fact, he will be doing the wrong job in ways that make us need someone to come in and play cleanup.
He's Ben Wickler. Ben, 1 year and a wake up, and hopefully it will be the reelection of Joe Biden. But for any Dem strategists of the David Axelrod sort that would suggest that maybe Joe should consider stepping back, what would be your response, sir?
My response is that any minute someone spends wishing we lived in some alternate universe is a minute they could have spent knocking on doors, talking to voters, reaching out to people that they know, posting on social media, making the case to the public that we need President Biden and Vice President Harris to finish the job, and we need to make absolutely sure that Donald Trump never again comes anywhere close to the nuclear codes or any of the things that come with it. This is the election. This is an election that will change the future of America, and we got to make sure it changes for the better and not the worse.
Most important election of our lifetimes?
We keep having most important elections of our lifetimes. This is one of the most important elections of our lifetimes. Hopefully we can turn down the temperature a little while after we defeat the threat of MAGAism once and for all.
Ben Wickler, people want to get involved with the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin. How would they do so?
Go to wisdems.org. You can go to wisdems.org/join, become a member of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, wisdems.org/contribute, donate a few bucks, or just go to wisdems.org and check it out. There's a lot of fun stuff
there.
What
if someone has a crazy idea to run?
Oh my God, do it. Go to wisdems.org. At the top, you can click get involved and go to run for office. There are so many offices, local offices, thousands up in the spring. You start collecting signatures in your own community this December. So if you want to run for office, get involved, join your local county party, go to a meeting and say you want to run. You will find folks who will help organize for you, and we want you to be a next office holder in our great state.
Dom's just a big talker. He lives in Canodal's district. Ben Wickler, thank you so much. Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, come back. Next, it's your turn. 844-96-PARTY.
Thanks, Ben.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. 1 year and a wake up. 1 year to the election. We've had a fine group of guests today, Dom. They've included Angela Lang, our friend Joseph Pecky, and Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler. Most recently, thank you, Ben. Coming up tomorrow on the big show, we got another fine program, Dom. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, your congresswoman, our friend. And also, new Marquette University Law School polling, new Wisconsin polling out. If there's new polling, Charles Franklin will be joining us in the Happier Happy Hour about 5:30, about 24 hours from now. Also, I think we're expecting Darcy Haber. We're in the namesake Solidarity Realty Studios. Look forward to having her come by. But right now, it's your time down here.
The Goonies.
844-967-2789. 1 year from the election. How you feeling? Wondered. How you feeling? Mark has been a very patient caller. If I can get there, Mark, I'm going to put you on the air. Welcome to the greatest radio show ever. Mark from Sussex, what do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you guys for taking my call. And there's very, very, very few times that I agree with you, but I do agree that we need to get voters out, because African Americans, Latinos, Jewish people, young people, soccer moms, right now are all turning towards the Republican Party.
And what do you think's turning them, Mark? What do you think's making them turn away?
I think it's number one, it's a foreign policy that's going on with between the two different countries. We've got the border. Inflation's probably number one. Crime. I think it's an incoherent Joe Biden. But I'm not a Trump fan. I don't want to put this as I'm a Trump fan, but I just think that if people look at what happened during COVID, when things were going well during the Trump era or Trump presidency, and then things turned. So I'm not sure, but I just think that there's a lot of negatives on Joe Biden. So.
Mark, let me ask you. It's an interesting perspective. Not clear that I would agree that foreign policy is driving, you know, young people from turning away from the Democrats. But, you know, certainly every administration has to deal with the legacy of the last administration to some degree, right? And the economy was pretty decent under Barack Obama, right? He had the most consecutive quarters of job growth, if I recall, ever. And then so Donald Trump, you know, had a pretty good hand starting out. And then what they do? They did the tax cuts for the rich, Mark, which didn't do a whole lot for working or poor people. And then COVID hit, and he handled COVID how he handled it. Now, we can quibble about whether or not that was proper, how Donald Trump, and if he could have done something more, but, you know, it ended up being what it was, and he kind of drove it into the ground. He didn't, you know, he didn't proactively wear the mask. He got his COVID shot in secret. You know, he kind of, you know, the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine and all this, you know, all these conversations that were being had, because my perception of the time, Mark, was he was obviously concerned about his reelection, and having a pandemic during a reelection and the economy's tanking is a really bad thing, so you're going to want to downplay it. But I think that has very specific causes. So, and then now we look at what Biden did. So Biden came in, and granted, a lot of that job growth was, you know, as the pandemic eased, come back, but we're still up. Is my analysis wrong, Mark? Where do you think that I'm going wrong in looking back, and how the folks that you say are leaving the Dem Party for the Republicans?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but I will agree with you 100% that those were not job creators. Those were job people that were coming back to their jobs. So thank you for clarifying that. The other thing is, I'm not sure, but I think all the promises that the Democrat Party makes to every one of those, to the African Americans, Latinos, the Jewish, the young people, none of it's coming true. So again, how long do you hang on?
Let me ask you, Mark.
Maybe they're seeing the light.
Specific policy, Mark. Bounce back grants in the state of Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers utilized federal money coming from the Biden administration, basically signed off only by Democrats, and turn that money around into small grants for small businesses to go rent up vacant real estate, vacant commercial real estate. Mark, I think this has been one of the best economic development drivers in the state of Wisconsin's history. And I would compare this to, let's say, Foxconn under Scott Walker and Donald Trump. What do you think is a better idea? Spread the money around to small business or give it all to some foreign corporation?
Yeah, you're talking a small victory. You're talking one state.
It's a huge victory, Mark. It's 86,000 companies in Wisconsin, sir.
Mark, I don't disagree. But there's also 49 other states that are not taking up that stuff. So,
Mark, I'm gonna cut you off there, not because I want to cut you short, but because we've got other people. And I live in this state, and I'm speaking to the policies of this state. A few of the texters had a few things to say. Damn, Mark in Sussex coming through as the soft rock cover of CJ's Greatest Hits.
Nice. 844-967-2789.
Mark, we're just going to try to move down the phones. I'm not sure if it's John or Joan from Boaz. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Devils. This is the greatest radio show ever.
Yeah, baby.
I'd like to say we can look at President Trump's first visit to the White House as president. Do you know what his peers said about him? This is John Bolton's book I'm reading to you. In my government experience, this was the most irrational thing I ever witnessed any president do. What would happen if we ever got into a real crisis with Trump as president?
He would cast himself with Putin and the Russians. I don't know why he would, though.
Because he's got interests in Russia that could be traitorous.
John, I don't disagree with you. We just got more fine guests coming, and we got a few more callers we'd like to sneak in today. So appreciate your contribution at 844 967-2789.
We had a big problem. We had a pandemic. We had a global pandemic. Millions of people died, man. I mean, we saw how it panned out.
Trump was totally killing it until then.
Oh, man.
Until the hundreds of thousands of people died unnecessarily and the entire U.S. economy shut down. Up until that point, he was killing it.
Well, he was riding the Obama wave at that point. And what did he do? He passed a tax cut, because that's what Republicans do.
Got a broken leg. Tax cut. It's like Robitussin. Fix anything. 844-967-2789. Let the Tussin get in that bone. Luann from Hale's Quarters. Luann, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Luann.
Hi there. Ben Wickler is so inspiring and hope-filled, and he's right. The voters, I was out in Mentors last weekend, and the voters I talked to are giving up on the Republican Party. And they're switching over to Democrats because they want to see democracy changed. They want to save it. And that's the sense I'm getting when I'm out talking to people, not the other way around. And the other interesting conversation that comes up too much is, isn't he a little too old? And all you got to say is, well, look at who he surrounds himself with. And then let's compare that to Trump. Everybody's in jail. That he's around the government. But our young people, in order to inspire and motivate our young people, I do think we've got work to do. Like Ben said, I think we got to talk to them in their terms and really remind them that we got the Pete Buttigieg, that we got all good people in there surrounding Biden, that, you know, they're doing good work. They're doing great work, like you guys have been talking about. So thanks for taking my call. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you for listening, Luann. Shout out Hale's Corners. 844-967-2789. Shout out Leftist Coast. Our buddy Jake from Eureka, California. How you been, Jake?
Hey, Jake.
Oh, freaking how you guys doing? Hey,
good, man.
You know, I can't handle these Republicans talking about the COVID-19 pandemic like it's just something that just happened to the Trump administration. Like they didn't have anything to do with the fact that 1 million people in America died because they bungled the response. You know, I've been working for our county Department of Health and Human Services for over 20 years, and my recollection of the Trump administration is they were completely incompetent and got more people killed than you could possibly imagine just because they didn't want to, you know, put up any kind of actual defense to the spread of that disease. They wanted to put their head in the sands and pretend like it wasn't happening. And Donald Trump's best advice to the American public was inject your lungs with Clorox. Okay, that's what I recall from Donald Trump's presidency.
Well, if you recall, Jake, initially it was really hitting the blue cities worse. It was hitting New York City. And guys like Jared Kushner said, well, this is really a blue city problem. So I think it was a strategic tack taken because, you know, they were not above punishing voters that didn't support their guy. And they thought this was way. And then, of course, it became a national pandemic.
Yeah, no, they didn't care at all until it crossed over into the red states. I do recall that, and I'm sure most of your listeners do recall that it was when it was in New York City, Chicago, L.A., the Republicans and Donald Trump, they couldn't care less. And you know why? Because those are Democratic voters that they were happy to watch die.
Jake, appreciate your contribution. You know, sadly, actuarially speaking, being a Republican supportive voter makes you more likely to die. And I would say there have been lots of Republicans that died since the last election, in no small part because of their leadership, because their leaders, you know, minimized the impact of a COVID-19 pandemic. And they caught it and they died. And I would wonder, have they died in sufficient numbers to move the voting tables? Because if you're talking about Georgia, 12,000 votes or less. Talking about the state of Wisconsin, 21,000 votes. We had more people than that died of COVID-19. And predominantly, they were Republican supportive because, you know, masks, they're so bothersome.
It's just a cold. Well, and also to bring up, again, talk about the age issue. It's about capability. And does Joe sometimes have a pause in his speeches? Sure. Okay. But have you listened to Trump lately? I mean, for real. So, again, as our pal Joe Zepecki from Zepecki Communications mentioned, you know, don't compare me to the almighty. Compare me to the alternative. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks. And for Mark from Sussex, he's kind of listening to some twisted version of go west, the king of wishful thinking, because I think he's wishing that the Democrats would just all go away, and that because the economy is getting better. Unemployment's at a, 50-year low. I think we've made up for all the job losses, you know, as a result of COVID. And yes, prices are higher, but that's basic economics is what is driving the price of goods and greed on the part of the of industry in some cases. But you just have to pay attention to the actual facts. Facts are facts, and the Republicans don't care about, they don't care about reproductive rights for women, for one thing, and that's going to be a big issue again in this next election. I mean, so it's not a time to panic. It's just time to get people informed, as this show tries to do on a constant basis. And it just bothers me no end when I hear, falsehoods just being spun out there like they're real facts. I mean, that they're not. They're facts, and there's an alternative facts, and only one of those is correct.
Well, Mark, everyone has a right to their own opinion, but they do not have a right to their own facts.
Mark, I got an article for you to read. Opinion piece, but supported by lots of statistics. Jennifer Rubin, today at the Washington Post. She does a take on, let's call it Bidenomics, this Biden economy. A, near record unemployment rate. B, inflation moderating. But C, here's a factor you don't often hear Republicans talking about. Production levels, the American worker kicking ass and taking names. And the production level of the American worker is up almost 5% this year. So they're working harder. The American worker is going to save this economy. And it's going to be awfully hard to refute when you got low unemployment, high production levels, and a modest inflation level. I mean, that's kicking ass and taking names economically. It's going to be hard to refute that.
And high participation rates as well.
Yes. Come back with us. We'll continue to participate in the greatest radio show ever. We got a fine guest and a friend. She's a sponsor. She's Darcy Haber. We named a studio after her fine brokerage, Solidarity Realty, right here in Madison. Come back. We'll talk a little business.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. It is super cool. You get all the stations on the Civic Media Network. You can find the Devil's Advocates. You can listen to our podcast, the interviews. Hell, you can click on a button and text or call. Again, the Civic Media app. Find it in your app store.
And again, tomorrow, a big show. Gwen Moore, Congresswoman, joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. And at 5:30, new polling, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire. I bet he oversampled Republicans.
Don't they all?
Dom, we got a friend who's joined us live in studio. She is the namesake of the Solidarity Realty Studio. She's the broker proprietor of Solidarity Realty, our friend Darcy Haber. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey,
good
Darcy.
To be back and see the studios. I can't believe it's been this long.
You have been our partner for going on like 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, Darcy.
12.
How could that be in that
12.
You're like 21 years old at this age?
I have no idea. I know.
Darcy, Solidarity Realty. You're a firm. You wear your politics on your sleeve. When you and I first talked, I thought, there is no better representation of the average Madisonian than your firm.
Well, thanks. People in Madison think that, too, because we've been around for 12 years, and we're doing great through all the ups and downs of the market. And we get rave reviews. Just ask Google.
Just ask Google. I saw you guys at the Willie Street, the big two-day affair.
That was fun.
Located right in the heart of Willie Street Solidarity Realty as a brokerage. Does Willie Street sort of reflect your sentiment, reflect sort of the sentiment of Madison, to your opinion?
Absolutely. I think that's why, that's my neighborhood, that's where I live, and that's where I chose to put our offices, because it's just that inclusivity that I love about Madison, and that offbeat nature. You can do this, you can do that, just don't hurt each other and we're all fine. We're not going to call you on your grass being this high or that high, but just be kind. That's all.
Be kind. That's a good theory. Darcy, let's talk business for just a minute. Solidarity Realty, a residential real estate brokerage. So how's the market?
Well, you know, we're always supposed to say it's fantastic, but it always slows in November and December, and this year has definitely been slower just due to the interest rates being higher.
And how do you think the average consumer is reacting? My understanding, a lot of people locked in at low rates once upon a time, but some families expand, some families contract, kids go off to college, whatever the case may be. Are people going to get stuck because of their prior interest rates? Do you think some are going to get stuck in their homes, quote unquote?
I mean, it depends how much they're married to that mortgage rate. I think for new buyers, it's easy to recalibrate. When I first bought my first two unit, my interest rate was 8%, but my tenant living upstairs still paid principal and interest for me. So it's hard when you compare it to what was for, you know, for the this period that we had, but it's actually not a terrible interest rate. And if you need to own a house, or you need to buy a bigger house, or you need to downsize, it's still probably the best option. Better than paying the man.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate. Never pay the man. Darcy Haber, broker owner at Solidarity Realty, joining us in studio. Darcy, always a pleasure to see you. News on, you know, the national real estate firms. Yeah. Some lawsuits came through, some commission issues. Can you shed a little bit of light on that and how that might affect people's perception on how your real estate is done?
Sure, I'll try. I mean, I've been wanting to sue the NAR for years now, and the one time they get nailed, it's on something that they're not even doing wrong, frankly, in my view. I think that they're being unfairly accused here. We are not told to set our prices, nor are we even allowed to price set. It's one of the first things we're trained to as realtors. So what they're guilty of is having a monopoly on all of us real estate agents. We can't practice real estate without being a member of this far-right Republican front group, which I hate. But what they're being accused of is wrong, and if they take away the current pricing structure, buyers will go without agents, and then they will be really screwed. We will lose the consumer protections we have.
And Darcy, that's because typically the seller pays approximately 6%, 3% to their representative, but usually it's baked into the cake. They're paying 3% to whoever represented the buyer.
Or 5% or 7%.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever the deal
is. It's not a set amount.
Right.
But the thought process is somehow it's unfair labor practice to set the commission for the buyer's agency. But as you mentioned, if the seller's agent's not paying that buyer's commission, 3% when you're buying a new house on top of closing costs, on top of downstrokes, on furniture, all the stuff, moving expenses, that can become cumbersome. Exactly. I mean, I'm sure I'm a cheap guy. There are times I probably would have avoided that expense personally.
Yeah, and not realizing what you're trading off in, you know, what you all the deals that we've gotten people out of after inspection that they would have stayed in because they didn't know how to get out of it afterwards, that would have cost them way more money in the long run. So if they do take away this bundling of fees on one end, it'll come in another end. The whole point is it needs to be financed by the transaction because people don't have thousands of dollars lying around. So it has to happen somehow. We don't really care how it happens, but buyers need to be represented.
And in this changing economy, really in any economy, I've never loved the idea of doing business with a rookie. Give me someone experienced, seasoned, someone that knows what they're doing, few hundred thousand, perhaps real estate transactions under their belt. Darcy, do you envision people will need any sort of particular guidance or tell them why they need you in the next year or two?
Oh, because it's still going to be a really tight market. Even if we have fewer transactions, there's still a lack of inventory. People want to move to Madison and the greater Dane County area. So there's competition even now for every house on the market. So you need our expertise to make sure that you can navigate that, get the winning offer, but also without waiving all your protection so that, you know, you hear these nightmare stories about people waiving inspection. Well, there are different... there are ways to reduce that risk, and sometimes we sneak in pre-inspections. You know, there are different tricks of the trade that I can't reveal right now on the air, but they are up my sleeve.
You're like a real estate ninja. Solidarity Realty right here in Madison, Wisconsin, serving this community for 12 years. Darcy, if people want to explore your services, and obviously it's not just you, it's you and your associates, but if they want to do so, how do they reach out to Solidarity Realty?
They just go to solidarityrealty.com, and there's a big, you know, orange form says, you know, contact us. You can also go to the Meet Our Team page, look at the agents, pick one out, and email them directly, either way.
Solidarity Realty. There is an alternative.
Thank you so much for having me.
Make sure you get a hold of Solidarity Realty before you go to the open house, right, Darcy?
Yes, absolutely. Good idea.
Our fine sponsor and friend, Darcy Haber, thank you so much. Thank you, Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair, Joe Zepecki, Zepecki Communications, and Angela Lang from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Another big show tomorrow with Gwen Moore and Charles Franklin. And stick around. Maggie Dawn is next, followed by Busted Pencils. Educated educators talking education. Keep it locked right here, Civic Media. Another great show. You're welcome.